Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coven House's very own Witching Hour. Guys, I am super excited. Tonight, we have Aaron Silvermoon on with us today, representing all the druids out there. I'm super excited. I've been looking forward to this all week. I'm super happy you guys are here to join us as well. Aaron, welcome on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, well, you run my favorite shop in town.
Yay! You want to give us a little bit of a rundown about how you got started into all this? How old you were?
I grew up outside. I'm a BC girl, born and raised. But mom didn't like us in the house, so outside.
Yes, yes.
Whether it was yard, the park, as long as she could, you know, call us for meals, outside. So, parks, trees, I have been in the depths of a blackberry bramble.
Oh.
It's great fun trying to get back out. if you don't mind getting scratched to hell and you didn't want to wear those clothes ever again.
Right.
The things you do when you're a kid.
Exactly. Back when the sun going down was time to go home.
Yeah, pretty much.
So do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown on what druidism is?
Well, there's druidism, and there's druidry, and depending who you talk to, they mean completely different things.
Oh, my apologies.
When people hear druid, they either think some priest running around Stonehenge. Ironically, the English government does not like druids running around Stonehenge. Or they think World of Warcraft, Dungeons and Dragons, and wow, I wish I had the powers of those druids. That would be awesome.
That would be a lot of fun.
But druidry, as practiced by the orders I am a member of, there's two different ones and two different ways of looking at it, but it's really a spiritual path, at least for some of us. There's other versions of druidry out there. For those like me, it's a spiritual path. It's a reverence for nature, not necessarily a worship of. Some do, some don't. Druids run a whole spectrum and druid orders are almost like Christian church denominations.
So pretty close to along the same lines then.
So the first, I'd looked up druid in the local library's card catalog.
Oh.
You know, the online version of it.
That's cool.
I remember microfiche. They used to have those. They were fun.
They were, I know.
But I'd looked up druid, and they had this one, almost like a National Geographic kind of picture book with some captions.
So you were able to find that in our library.
And in the very back, it had this little section talking about, a tiny little section talking about how some people don't feel it's a conflict to be both a Christian and a druid.
Incorrect.
And that was fascinating to me. Now, I grew up in Anabaptist, somewhat evangelical churches.
Oh.
So we're talking Mennonite Brethren, Alliance, the last one was an evangelical free. Mm-hmm. And then I'd walked away because my experience in those places was not, it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
It felt like there was something missing, and I'd walked away, and this was well before. I'd walked away from churches as a teenager. It was another place I didn't fit in. There was all these lines and rules, and they were always moving, and I never knew. And some of it may be the fact that I was undiagnosed neurodivergent, which means that I don't necessarily understand how some of these things come together the way most people would.
I think that's most of us, dear.
It sure feels like it sometimes. Like, sometimes I look at some of the material I read and go, is there actually such a thing as an actual neurotypical person?
So were you just young when you realized that you just didn't really fit in that box?
I didn't like the box, and I didn't like being told what to do or how I should live my life, and it created drama at times. And like I said, I walked away, and then probably the fall of 2013.
Oh, wow.
So I'm in a little over a decade now. I return to the Bible and some books that were sort of semi-recommended or written by people that I was following online at the time. Yeah. As the struggling mother of a toddler who is also neurodivergent.
Yeah.
And just trying to find my way through all this stuff. And I went back to the Bible and I was just doing these journals where I would just write and write and write. And I can't remember exactly what I wrote, but it was something along the lines of, Jesus, where are you? And all, just crystal clear, the words, I'm here.
Oh.
I was like, whoa.
So a startle, what the hell? For sure, yeah.
And I just kept writing and kept reading stuff and got into all these online, like, self-help, not really new age, but just these courses and books and reading. And eventually, if you actually work through enough of the material, you get to a point where I don't really need more of this stuff because it's... You hit an end of what you can do with certain things.
Yeah.
And it was more finding specifically what I valued, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to look up, and eventually somewhere in that, prior to 2020, I was looking in the library for Druid stuff, and yeah. I found the one book. And it's like, okay, because the nature aspect of it especially really caught my attention. And then I read another book by, not necessarily popular in Druid circles now, just for some of what's come out since his death, but Isaac Bonowitz wrote a book describing how he came into Druidry and came to form, it's actually one of the largest Druid orders in America. It's not one I am a member of. I don't agree with some of their philosophy. But some of what he said in the book almost actually turned me off it, and it took me a while to go looking again.
Yeah.
And then I did, some time later, I think it was a couple years later, I just did a Google search for Christian Druid, and the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids came up.
Oh.
So their website is druidry.org, so fairly simple. And you go there and they have a ton of resources and essays that are easy to read, and they tackle all the questions, you know, what is a druid, what is druidry, what's the history of the modern druid movement.
So druid.org.
Druidry.org.
Druidry.org. For everybody who's interested and want to look into it a little bit more.
And so they give a lot of stuff, but they offer courses. And you sign up for what they call their Bardic Grade. And it does cost a little bit to offset there. And they are based out of the UK.
Hmm.
And it's very UK druidry. It's very, they're into the history, the Celtic folklore, the Welsh, the Irish.
So all over the world then. There's no hiding hole.
OBOD has members all around the world. Like, I don't even know what the membership is. I think it's in the tens of thousands.
Holy. So do you guys all stay, like, connected and contacted in a way? Or, like, how would someone like that be able to reach out?
Once you become a member, there's a members-only Facebook group.
Oh.
They have forums that I think are largely members-only.
So kind of like a test you have to pass to prove.
Well, you don't really have to pass anything as long as you actually sign up for the full-on Bardic grade.
Oh, awesome.
And they do, it looks like a lot of money at first, but they will break it down into payments over a year, which is how I did my Bardic grade, because I did not have the money up front. And there's no time limit on it.
Yeah.
It's possible to do all the grades in about 3 years.
So it's
almost
like
no one. My Bardic grade took me 2.
Is it like a course?
It is a course. Oh. That each month they send you lesson packets and supplement materials.
I love how involved this is.
It's a fairly formal correspondence course, and you can apply for a mentor.
Oh, that's wild. We need to do this in
It is a bit of a mystery thing. They ask us not to discuss specific contents of the lessons.
Huh. So it's like a secret club?
Well, they want you to be able to come at the lessons with what they call beginner's mind.
Okay.
Is what it is, and it's explained fairly early on. But it took me 2 years to do my Bardic grade, and I started that in January of 2020, and I was working on that through the whole crazy pandemic thing. Actually, it's interesting because they had a membership spike in 2020.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then, like I said, Obod is very UK-based druidry. It's a lot of history, and it's a lot of... And I mean, that's how I ended up at Coven House, was I was looking for some of the herbs recommended in that. Because this is a different part of the world. Some of those things don't naturally grow here.
Exactly. All food grade, too. Don't drink the camphor or the nightshade.
Well, gee. If it's, you know, known to be poisonous, maybe just don't drink it.
Yeah. Turn that into a bath bomb. So, what kind of herbs do you primarily work with?
I do a little bit, mostly I burn them, honestly.
Yeah, most of them are burning rituals.
So, agrimony, mugwort.
Love mugwort.
What else is up in that box? Because I have my own little sanctuary space. Yeah. And I have, even before I formally became a druid. Agrimony, mugwort, meadow sweet.
Yes. So are the herbs kind of used for like a cleansing purpose? Do you use those to burn for cleansing?
If I'm going to cleanse something with herbs, I'm going to burn sage.
Yeah, it just kind of cleanses out the area. Sage is wonderful. I love that stuff.
I don't necessarily care for the smell of it. It's a little strong.
It can be, yeah, for sure.
But if I'm doing any work with cards, I will burn agrimony in some mix.
Okay.
If I'm not feeling well, I will burn mugwort.
Yes. Also good to burn on the full moon, too, as well.
If a new moon, I tend to burn sage.
Oh, good.
Other times, I will burn rose, I will burn cedar, I will burn pine. I'd burn spruce, but I don't have any. I have not been able to get any for whatever reason.
I'm sorry.
Like I said, Obod is very UK-based.
Yeah.
And I was looking for something that was a little, because I live here,
mm-hmm.
a little more, a little different, really. And I ended up finding the Ancient Order of Druids of America.
Oh, crazy.
So the AODA, their site is aoda.org.
Aoda.org, okay.
And they have 3 levels of courses too, but they do it a little differently, and I'm still almost 4 years later a druid candidate because they want you to create your own curriculum and they want you to create your own druidry based around where you live, and the spirits of place don't like me.
I love the amount of structure and the amount of discipline behind it all. And it's not just like you put on a witch hat and ta-da, you're a witch. You know, like you actually have to prove that you're practicing.
Well, I mean, you can get mentors through both, especially if you're seriously working on the courses. And I do have mentors through both, which helps. Because when you do something like a Samhain ritual and what happens during it is kind of weird, being able to email my mentor and go, this is what happened, any thoughts?
Yeah. So your coven, per se, is internet-based, or do you have people that you meet up with here in town and you guys have a little group that you go to? What would something like that look like?
As far as I know, in druidry, it's a grove, not a coven.
Grove. I like that way better.
Yeah, well, druids and trees.
Yes, I love that.
One of the things that's associated with druidry is the Celtic tree alphabet, or the Oum.
Okay.
And it's designed, if you ever see it, it's designed to be on a straight line or like on the edge of a building, and it's just different ways of doing little marks, and each one of them stands for letter, but it also has a whole lot of other symbolism.
Yeah.
And I've been working with that for a while, but I've sort of been working on my own because some of the trees in the traditional listings aren't found here.
That's fair, yes.
And so just to learn, you know, this tree associated with this character, associated with, you know, these things.
So that's kind of like your correspondences type deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as OBOD goes, I'm actually an OVATE grade member. That's the second level.
Ooh, congratulations.
And I do want to go all the way up through and finish the Druid level, but the stuff can't be rushed.
Yes, no, definitely. You got to practice and take your time.
It's not necessarily linear. Because, sure, they send you this packet of course booklets each month, and they suggest you work through about one a week.
Mm-hmm.
But what can be in them can be suggested rights, it can be book recommendations. I really wish some of those weren't out of print. Pet peeve on another front, but... or things like suggestions for how to work with the Oum and the trees. And my Bardic grade was a spiral. I would work through a set of lessons, and then I'd go back through them. And then I'd work through a set of lessons, and then I'd go back through them.
So just, like, double-checking your work type deal.
Every time you go back to it, it's a little different, and you see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember... OBOD's leadership is they have a chosen chief.
Okay. So this is kind of like the ranking type deal?
This is sort of the top.
From the top to the bottom. Okay.
So there's a chosen chief.
Okay.
The current chosen chief is a wonderful Irish storyteller. Mm. Like, to listen to her is just amazing.
Oh, it's
and amazing. Never mind the Irish accent, because that just adds. So that's the chosen chief. The Pendragon is a musician.
I want to be that one.
the current Pendragon is a musician, and
it's amazing.
He does monthly house concerts on Facebook, and he does live stuff, and he has CDs out. His work is really good. That would be Dave the Bard.
That is fascinating.
I have one of his CDs, and I wish it was cheaper to get the rest, but the easiest way I find to order his stuff, Amazon jacks it up.
Yeah.
So to order it directly through his website, but then it's coming from the UK.
Yeah, right.
So that's the Pendragon, and then there's a scribe, and I can't remember if there's another one or not off the top of my head. If you go to OBOD's website,
mm-hmm.
and you can look up the leadership and who's there and the past chosen chief, because the current one is the third. So, interesting connection there.
Oh.
The Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids was originally founded by a man named Ross Nichols.
Well, thank you, Ross.
One of his good friends that he was corresponding with and working on stuff with was a guy named Gerald Gardner.
Hmm. Fascinating.
Mean anything? There's a little bit of crossover there between what each of those two founded.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
So it's interesting. OBOD has a podcast, Druidcast. They hit 200 episodes here recently.
Holy. Well, congratulations.
He interviews all kinds of practitioners across all kinds of pagan...
That is amazing.
And he spotlights music, that's folk music or pagan music.
Oh.
And so that's Druidcast. It's not hard to find. And actually the AODA has their own podcast, but I can't remember what it's called because I've never listened to that one.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
And the only other one I think I have listened to is something called Shove It Up Your Awen.
Shove it up your Awen.
Okay, so.
Do you care to explain on that one?
The Awen. The Awen is the Welsh term for creativity or the creative force.
Awen, hey?
A-W-E-N.
A-W-E-N.
And part of what druids do is learn to channel that and how, where it calls them, where it leads them.
Yeah.
And there's so much to even what I do versus... And the other thing with druids is a lot of them will tell you that druidry is non-dogmatic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There isn't, you know, this set, you have to toe this line, and this line to be a druid.
Yeah.
I have met some druids who are a little dogmatic about their druidry.
Well, I'd imagine there are some people like that out there.
Like I said, the druid orders are a little bit like Christian denominations.
Yeah. It's crazy how, like, the two can kind of ride the same line but be slightly different.
A lot of Christian druids are either Celtic Christian church or Gnostic church.
Yeah.
I have my own personal issues with Gnosticism. It's not my practice.
Not your practice? Yeah. So is your family into druids as well, too? Are they druids?
My parents are fairly, not necessarily fundamental, but fairly traditional evangelical Christian.
Holy moly.
Which means some certain things don't sit well.
So that's why you didn't fit in that box.
It's interesting because they always had this plaque on the wall when I was growing up, and they still have it, but it says, "The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you."
Hmm. Hmm.
But the path I walk has just been all these places that the churches I grew up in would tell you, oh, that's evil, that's bad, you shouldn't go anywhere near it. Actually, it's not. It feels a whole lot better than what you've been preaching to me all these years.
Well, for sure.
But you get all these churches, they operate so much on the fear of the devil and the fear of hell, and they never get anywhere near the love of God.
I was definitely raised in Montreal, and I saw a lot of manipulation from the churches. Like, even just, I remember a giant bus, like a school bus that had been transformed, and just inside was a giant tub, and there was just a priest, this bus, a tub, a couple helpers, and they would just sit outside the bar at 3 a.m., and just, it just looked to me like people were being taken advantage of while they were at their lowest point, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I've seen quite a bit of evil come from the church, but I've also seen a fair amount of good, too, as well.
It depends on the person, it depends on the denomination, it depends on what's coming out of the pulpit.
Yeah.
Some of these ones out of the U.S. just make me want to...
shake your head.
Well, it's like, how do you hit this point? You're not making any sense anymore. You left love behind decades ago. What are you doing?
I hear Jesus has a Ouija board now. It's a Ouija board.
Okay, I'd rather disincline to go anywhere near that.
Jasper came in yesterday and told me you could buy them on Amazon.
I believe it.
It's like a phone call to Jesus now. Just woo. So I want to talk a little bit more about this grove and the seed. Obod, you called it?
Seed group.
Seed group.
Okay, so within... because Obod is a global thing...
Yes.
They actually encourage us to form local, smaller groups.
Yeah.
Now, a grove has to have two druid grade members to be recognized by the overall order. A seed group does not.
Yes.
So a seed group can be just bards, it can be just bards and ovates, or maybe it'll have one druid instead of two.
Yeah.
AODA, I think it's again two druids to be a formally grove, but they have another designation. It's not seed group, it's something else, and it's again less formal.
Less formal, yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome. I love that. So there's no groves in Prince George, though, hey?
The nearest grove that I know of is in Calgary.
Calgary has a grove. Do you know how many people are part of that grove?
No. I think its name is Chinook something.
Oh, that's cool. So there's no seed groups or anything like that around here?
There's supposedly a seed group down in the Chilliwack area, but I don't even know if that's active.
Hmm. So how would you get in contact with...
Is it just
through social media type deal?
Online on Facebook, I'm... in Obod's members group. I'm in AODA's members group, but I'm also in a group that's called the Canadian Druid Network.
Yeah.
Which, and I'm also in a group called Druidry and Christianity.
Yeah.
Through the Canadian, the Druid Network.
Yeah.
That will connect. They're not necessarily members of OBA. They're not necessarily members of AODA. They call themselves druids. And some of them do, like, I see postings for gatherings. I see postings for, like, Pagan Con.
Pagan Con? What? There's, like, a Pagan Con? I want to be part of this Pagan Con.
I know there's conventions for across a number of, and there's stuff, you know, East Coast, West Coast, but it's all, like, living here kind of feels like living in the back end of nowhere as far as being able to connect in person.
Aw, so how do you do, like, recharging and your rituals and stuff like that? Are you just doing them solo?
It's been solo practice to this point, which is not ideal, and I really don't like urban druidry.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference with urban druidry?
Urban druidry is a druid practicing in a city.
Oh, fair.
As opposed to a semi-rural or a go out in the forest and...
So March 19th, Ostara is coming up. Is there
anything... That would be the spring equinox for me.
Yeah, that would be the spring equinox for you. So what would your rituals, what would your day kind of look like on that day?
Typically on... I do observe the Eightfold Wheel of the Year.
Yep. So do we.
So the equinoxes, the solstices, the cross-quarter fire festivals.
Whoa, that's not fire festivals.
That's what they call them, depending on whose stuff you're reading.
That's wild.
So spring equinox, if I follow the Obod material, I'll plant a seed. I probably won't this year.
What, is there a specific seed that you would plant?
Well, when you're doing your bardic grade, they send you a series of booklets on ritual and ritual suggestions for each of the Eightfold Wheel observations.
Yeah, okay.
Observances, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
But typically, my family does not... And I live with my husband, my daughter, and four cats. My sanctuary space is in a room that the door can be closed.
Yes.
Because candles and cats.
Candles and cats. And you probably have a bag of catnip, too, that they want.
Nope.
No catnip, hey?
I do not have catnip.
No, that stuff's amazing for sleep.
Oh.
Drink it and sleep it.
I have trouble with teas. I can do capsules okay, but I have trouble with teas.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I know some people that do tea leaf reading, and even though it doesn't taste very good, it's the end result that they're really going for, right? With the intentions and whatnot. So just primarily herbs and burning herbs and saging and...
Collect crystals. Some of them end up on my altar. There's one in my pillowcase. There's two in the drawer. There's three or four in this bag.
What would your altar kind of look like?
Okay, so my altar is actually large.
You've got a large
compared
altar
to what I've seen from most practitioners. It's a kitchen table, a small kitchen table, that's just in the end of that the sanctuary space.
Genius idea.
And then I will have a cloth of some kind. A lot of them are hand-crocheted doilies that I've made myself.
Yeah.
And then I will have some arrangement of candles if I am doing Sphere of Protection.
Okay, what's that?
Okay, AODA strongly recommends this. It is more or less an invocation. Yeah. But you invoke the elements, and you ask them for protection, and you form the energies resulting into a sphere around you and around where you're working.
Aye.
And then at the end, you, of course, dismiss that.
Yeah.
Usually, my usual dismissal on that one is go in peace.
Yeah, go in peace, right? Because you're doing it for healing purposes. Yeah.
A certain amount of it's healing, a certain amount of it is... Observing the Eightfold Wheel allows me to be a little bit more aware of the passage of time. I mean, at one point in my life, I blinked and realized I'd lost a decade somewhere.
That's wild.
I don't remember, like, I remember sort of what happened in that time, but I don't remember what I was doing, what I was thinking.
You're just kind of going with the flow. You're just...
And so the Eightfold Wheel is a move towards intentionally living and intentionally observing and noting, like, in the UK, when they observe Imolg.
Yeah.
It's... spring, it's snowdrops, it's, I'm sitting here in northern BC going, we have 6 feet of snow and minus 40 below freezing, and the only thing I am noticing is that the light is stronger each day. So for me, Imolg is more about the light returning.
Yes, yes, it's kind of, yeah, especially being in the north, it makes it a little bit more difficult to be able to accomplish those things.
So spring equinox...
yeah.
Is where we get those first signs of spring.
Oh.
In the UK, the next one, Beltane.
Yes.
Which is my least... oh.
Not my favorite.
Beltane either. Can go away.
Yes.
My issue is the fertility aspect, and because fertility is something I've struggled with...
yes.
You know, I wanted to have a whole house full of kids. I somehow managed to have one, and I'm not sure how that happened, even though we wanted kids so bad. And so the whole fertility aspect of it is just like, I don't even want to... but they celebrate that as the beginning of summer.
Yes. Because it's and, the beginning of something new, you're planting something and it's growing.
Well, by then, some of, depending where you are in the world, it is kind of summer.
Yeah.
Not so much here. By the time it's really summer here, you're talking summer solstice.
Yes.
And that's, so, Obod does two major gatherings each year.
Okay.
Summer solstice, winter solstice.
The yin and the yang, yep.
And actually, if you go, Obod, the Order of Bards of Aetsindruid has a public Facebook page that you can look up. And they post when publicly available online rituals will happen for each observance.
Has you and your hubs, have you and your husband ever gone to one of those, like a winter solstice or a summer
solstice? I haven't been outside of BC since I was 16.
Oh.
And that was a trip to Alberta.
That's wild.
It would be incredible to be able to go to one of these things.
Should make that a personal goal.
I don't know. I'd rather go see whales, honestly.
Yeah. Or what? Do you think you'd be able to create a grove here in Prince George? I know we're a little off with the weather and stuff like that.
Well,
but...
I mean, it's a matter of taking what you're observing and making your own correspondences, really.
Yeah.
Which is where the AODA comes more into play in terms of what they encourage us to do.
Yeah.
To take what we're observing and how it cycles and make it very, you know, very personal. I'm trying to get back into a practice of more prayer.
Yeah. So when you do prayer, do you have like a deity or a god or...
Being a Christian druid.
Yeah.
The main deity is the one that, I believe, created the universe and everything in it.
Yeah.
I do believe in the Trinity. Not all Christian druids do.
Yeah.
So god or... my personal practice has used goddess for years now.
Yeah.
So goddess, Christ, and Sophia.
Sophia.
Who is the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. In the Old Testament, in the... Proverbs, they talk about Sophia as being divine wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole movement out there. Like, if you look up Sophia online, you get all these crazy... like, some of it is just out there.
Absolutely fascinating. I've never heard... this is the first I'm hearing of Sophia.
I first encountered Sophia when I was reading the book Dance of the Dissident Daughter.
Yeah.
And because that book is about the authors leaving very fundamentalist churches and finding her own spiritual path, and that's one of the things that she had encountered, and it sort of resonated.
Yeah.
And so I've explored it more or less on my own. I don't necessarily believe some of what these others do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's true of so many things.
This is very true. This is very true.
If it doesn't resonate and it feels like you're going through the motions, why are you doing it?
Exactly. Thank you. It's just like, I just love how you described earlier about not quite fitting in that box. Like, just knowing you were different. You're not crazy.
Well, I never quite fit into anyone's box.
You create your own box.
Not at church, not at school, not...
You create your own box. You rock the shit out of that box.
I wish it was easier to connect with people in person.
Wow.
But it's not, and part of it is not being able to read social cues very well.
This is true, and this is why, like, I was so excited to have you come on, because I know there's a whole bunch of druids out there that are still kind of lost, that don't realize that there's a whole network going on, that don't realize
that... Well, there's so many orders, and some of them... It's interesting, because some of the modern druid orders have their origins in the same place as the Mason orders.
Yeah, that's exactly what it kind of reminded me of earlier. It's like the Freemasons there. I love that.
That's
like
linked.
Secret society.
Back in, like, I think it was Victorian when they were, you know, exploring and starting archaeology and doing all the things, there would be these orders, and they were mostly men. These were mostly fraternities.
So do you find with druids it's more male-based, or...?
Not now.
Not now? It's becoming more...
The Chosen Chief of Obod is a woman.
Yeah.
Oh. As I mentioned. The Grand Archdruid of AODA is a woman.
Yeah, girl.
Amazing, amazing artist.
Oh,
she is.
I'd love to be able... I'm going to look her stuff up after.
It's good.
It's good. Does she sell prints and stuff?
I believe so.
Oh, excellent.
She has her blog that she posts all kinds of stuff on. AODA's top is structured differently. There's the Grand Archdruid, and then there's the Archdruids of each element.
Yeah.
And each of them has their responsibilities. And then they're connected to the Gnostic Celtic Church and that clergy.
Gnostic Celtic Church, eh?
If you go AODA.org, they have, you know, about and membership and... Within that, it's not hard to find membership in the order as opposed to membership in the church, but I think they don't take, even for the bottom level clergy, I think you have to have finished your first degree.
So it's kind of along the same line as, like, the Celtic, like, witchery more peaceful,
They look back at the ancient druids and what they can reconstruct of ancient druid practice, which is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ancient druids did not write stuff down. That was entirely an oral tradition. And the church tried their hardest to squish it.
Yeah.
And actually, a certain amount of that survived in Ireland longer. Almost up to the point where there was the revival of interest in the druids, and things have moved on from there.
Yeah.
So this is not a huge time gap, but at the same time, reconstructing the practices and the teachings, they can do a little bit, taking the old folk tales.
Like fairies and fae, they're called.
Well, there's the Welsh O Mabinogi.
Okay.
Which is four sections. Actually, Dave the Bard has been adapting the sections of O Mabinogi into audio CDs with music.
Oh, wild.
He's got the first three branches done. And so you can go on YouTube and people mispronounce it damn, because it's actually the Irish for stag.
Oh.
So it's spelled D-A-M-H.
D-A-M-H.
And you can go on, and all his albums are on YouTube. You just have to be willing to put up with ads.
Yeah. Who doesn't have to put up with ads these days?
My husband bought me a CD player for my birthday. I've been playing CDs since. Anyway, back to the druidry. There's a number of podcasts, and a lot of the druid order sites will have, you know, the resource lists.
So there's a
and
fair...
there will be lists of podcasts and blogs and...
So there's a fair amount of information out there if you kind of know where to look for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, even if you type in, like, druid into a Google search, a certain amount of it will come up.
Well, that's good. That's good. And so it's a not so secret club.
Well, when you're talking orders that have tens of thousands of members around the world, there's a connection somewhere.
Somebody's talking, eh? Well, how do you want to wrap this up? Was there anything that you kind of want to bring a spin back to before we say goodnight to everybody?
Because
that's amazing. That was, like, so informative. I loved it.
I do most of what I do at home.
Yeah.
So like I said, the spirits of place don't like me.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's one of the things is the encouragement to... If you invoke something, ask permission to work with that thing, yeah. That spirit, that... So, say, to work with a tree.
Yeah.
Approach a certain distance, may I come closer?
So just asking consent from everything around you.
Yeah. And then also gratitude after. And you may receive a gift, you may not.
So what would a repercussion look like? So if you kind of went against that and you didn't ask permission, you like forcefully did something and obviously pissed off your gods, right? Would there be any kind of repercussions behind
it's
that?
More
or how would that work?
Not so much God.
Yeah.
For me, for that. But there was... I was walking one of the local trails.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached up to touch a branch and a very clear get out.
Oh. Very, very clear. Okay.
So I don't tend to do a lot of work outside of my home.
Mm-hmm.
The spirits of place would actually like me to move away. I know they do. Yeah. And it's taken some, I will call it divine intervention.
Divine
to be able to stay, because we can't afford to leave.
Yes. It's just kind of being stuck between that rock.
And so it's feeling like it's hard to connect to other people, especially in person. It's hard to get out and do any kind of work in the community.
Yeah.
It's just really frustrating that way, because I would like to be, you know, part of an active community.
Well, I would really like to see a grove of Prince George here, even if, you know, like, you were to start your own, you know, a couple people hear this.
And Prince George used to be known as the white spruce capital of the world.
Crazy. Okay. Elaborate a little bit on that one.
I don't know that much about it beyond, like, that wasn't a druid or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That was just probably more a forestry thing.
Yeah. I guess we do have a fair amount of fruit.
This city has a long history of forestry. Yeah. And
I've only been here for about 15 years, but
I've
seen the world
here,
change here.
On and off. I wasn't born here.
No? Where were you born?
I was born in Langley because my dad was a student at Trinity Western College at the time.
That's wonderful.
It's now Trinity Western University. Yes, I'm a little old.
No.
Well, the truth is that my one friend who is 80-something assures me I am still very young.
you have a wise soul. That's what you have. But your meat suit's still
It's
good.
A lot of overthinking stuff. Because I will sit and my brain will just... It's an interesting statistic that I encountered that autistic brains at rest produce something like 42% more information.
But it's good information, though.
It can
be. It's
not
a bad thing.
Well, it doesn't take much overthinking to see all the holes in everything, but for a grove here to maybe be, you know, associated with the spruce or something like that that the area is known for. But the other side of it is finding enough people who are willing to meet, who are willing to identify as druids, because I mean the broom closet is a real thing.
The broom closet, yes, it is a real thing. We were all in it at one point for a very long time.
Well, I didn't come out of it until after my brother had come out as trans.
Thank you so much for coming on today. It was super informative. I loved all of that. I look forward to seeing how great the next steps are going to be for you, and I look forward to seeing us all progress and with all the druidism and druidry and learning so much. I'm going to be looking for it online there, and thank you everybody for listening, and thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you.